Veterans salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
You're tuned in to The Last Radio Show.
Hello and welcome to The Last Radio Show. I'm John Lynch.
I'm Jen Riley.
And this is a show where we talk about all kinds of stuff, history, news, pop culture, whatever we feel like. And today, I thought we'd talk about celebrities who died, because that's a fun subject.
Sure.
but maybe they didn't.
Mm.
You know, there's this whole kind of genre of celebrities who have passed away who people think are still alive.
Right.
And I guess the best example is Elvis.
Well, that's funny. That's the first person that popped into my
head.
Yeah,
I think, you know, that was, you know, I think the National Enquirer back in the 70s and 80s, mm-hmm. just like every other issue of that newspaper, yeah. was Elvis spotted in, you know, at a gas station in California. Elvis spotted, you know, here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah, after a while, it just became like facts, you know?
It was just kind of a thing. But it actually, the idea of some of these celebrity things do go back a little further.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess one of the first, there's two different versions of this idea. A celebrity who we know passed away.
Right.
And then people think they faked their death. And then there are people who disappeared.
Okay,
and, right. you know, we presume they're dead, but we don't know for sure. So that's a little bit more of a gray area.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess the first big name in that would be Amelia Earhart.
Mm-hmm. Like, you'd like to think she was living on an island in Bora Bora.
somebody think, you know, she just, you know, got away from it all, ran off with her navigator and, mm-hmm. you know, decided to live her best life somewhere on an island. But, you know, she probably didn't. She probably crashed into the ocean. But, again, that's a little different because, you know, we don't know for sure she did die.
Right.
So, you know, there's still a little bit of a gray area there. And the other guy in history who's there was a lot of rumors about was Adolf Hitler.
Oh, really?
You know, a lot of people think that he didn't die in the bunker, that he escaped to Argentina.
Right. Well, that would be, like, more likely because, you know, people would have helped and there was a whole underground thing.
Some Nazis did do that.
Right.
Some Nazis, you know, ended up moving to South America, especially in Argentina, and were found years later. But it probably not Hitler. He probably did die in the bunker. And, you know, we're 99% sure that that is the case. But we're going to talk about more interesting, fun people and more current people than those. we're not going to talk about Hitler.
That's where it all starts, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we'll talk about Elvis. He was pretty young. How old do you, just off the top of your head, how old do you think Elvis was when he died?
I actually don't know the answer to that. I'm thinking 35.
A little older, 42.
Oh, okay, good.
For some reason, I had in my head that he was older than that.
He looked older towards the end, he put on a lot of weight towards the end,
you know, and he just kind of, he did not look well, and obviously he was not well since he passed away. He famously died in the bathroom, had a heart attack,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, they had it was this big thing. The funeral in Graceland was like a royal funeral or a presidential funeral. People were lined up and mourners were coming to see him. But almost immediately afterwards, the Elvis is alive rumors started.
Mm.
Now, my humble opinion is I think there are so many Elvis impersonators out there that doesn't help the matter at all.
Right. People spot him all over the place.
Right. If you go to Vegas, you're going to see Elvis.
Because
he's in every hotel lobby. Or if you go to Times Square, you're going to see Elvis hanging around, shaking his hips and all that kind of stuff. But it really did have, and there's people who claim they sat down and talked with him. There's some people who put out books that said they interviewed him
mm-hmm.
after his death. And obviously, a lot of those probably are not true. I mean, you never know.
If you actually did come out and say, I'm really Elvis, I faked my death, I mean, would anyone believe it?
Right. And, you know, and why would you?
Right.
You know,
exactly.
I mean, that's kind of the thing that discredits this. I mean, I get like, okay, you know, maybe he wanted to escape fame, but he had a lot of money.
Yes.
He could just say, you know what? I'm not doing music anymore. I'm going to move to an island somewhere. Right. And
see you guys.
That's
peace.
It. Yeah. Right. You know, he didn't have to, you know, go through this elaborate thing of faking his death.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's
yeah. But, bunk. You know, but Graceland, you know, became this, you know, pilgrimage for Elvis fans.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some things that are kind of bizarre. Like his name is misspelled on his gravestone. He's buried at Graceland.
Okay.
And his gravestone misspelled his middle name.
Oh, that's weird.
And some people say that's a sign that he wanted to, you know, to let the fans know, you know, wink, wink, I'm not really here. This ain't really me.
He had a family. I don't think he would have just disappeared.
Yeah,
like,
you know.
Right,
yeah,
or a daughter. You know.
And one of the other people we're going to talk about, and we'll get into him now, technically was family with Elvis at one time, Michael Jackson, who was, of course, married to Elvis's.
Yeah, right.
He was technically Elvis's son-in-law because he was married to his daughter for a while there, remember?
Yeah, and people think Michael Jackson faked his own death.
There are some people who are saying that. Of course, Michael Jackson passed away in 2009,
mm-hmm.
and he was getting ready to do a comeback tour. Of course, he was facing a lot of legal trouble. You know,
right.
All the accusations from underage children that he sexually assaulted them, and, you know, Finding Neverland and all this kind of stuff, that, you know, the documentaries that cover all that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, obviously he kind of disappeared. You know, obviously he was the biggest star in the world for about 10 years in the, you know, late 70s through the mid 80s. And then all these accusations came out and he kind of fell off the map a little bit. But then he was going to do this comeback tour. And the story goes that a lot of people say is that he was kind of overwhelmed. He really he didn't want to do this tour. He had to because he owed a lot of money and, you know, the money was running out. He wasn't making it what he used to make. And,
right. So he was sort of forced. This was not something he wanted to do.
Right. And there was no way he could just say, I'm not going to do the tour because he would have been sued. And, you know, would have been in a lot of trouble. So they think he just faked his death.
Hmm.
Michael
Jackson. He's one that could pull it off, I think.
He's a strange enough dude where you could see it.
And
you
he's know, got enough he, money. Like, I think, you know.
But he's not someone who would blend into a crowd.
No, enough people would hide him.
that's true, and he has changed his appearance before,
right?
You know,
that's true.
We do know he's done a lot of cosmetic surgery. His skin is much lighter. Well, his skin was much lighter towards the end. So I guess, you know, he could change his look. You know, and we don't know. It's possible.
Yeah,
and it's interesting. A lot of these people we're going to talk about today are in the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's more that seems to be more of the genre. And one of the things that happened in the 90s was there was the rapper feuds, the East Coast West Coast, and Tupac Shakur and the Notorious B.I.G. They were both shot in drive-by shootings within a few months of each other.
Yes.
And a lot of people think that was gang-related, and a lot of people think that was fake, too.
Well, it's funny, because he got shot in 1994 the first time, and I was actually in the emergency room with him.
Were you really? Wow.
And downtown Manhattan, we had an incident with my friend, and we had to bring her to the emergency room, and it just so happened in 1994 that Tupac was in the next bed.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know if it was the next bed, but you know how it's like a triage type of thing.
Right, right. They just got the curtains between the beds.
So I can personally tell you he was there and alive. And he survived that one, though. That was the one that
he
survived.
We know that one he survived, but then a couple of years later, he was shot again.
And then maybe he thought, you know what? I got to get out. Like,
I mean, I could get this kind of makes a little more sense to me if you're in a situation where your life is in danger.
For sure.
You know, like with Elvis wanting to get away from it all, you could get away from it all without having to do all this. But if you had to like change your identity and kind of, you know, disappear.
Yeah, I kind of hope that one's true. Like, what?
I could see that.
Maybe
I could
shot
see that
at it anymore.
One of the more interesting ones that I came across, and this actually isn't someone in the music industry, it's a comedian, but Andy Kaufman.
Mm.
Now, of course, best known for Taxi and, you know, playing Latka, and that was a character he did on stage.
Yeah.
And Andy Kaufman is a fascinating guy. If you ever watch any documentaries or...
I just watched Man on the Moon and
the Jim Carrey
so
movie.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jim Carrey did an amazing job, you know, channeling Andy Kaufman. And... he was a strange dude. I mean, he definitely, he didn't care if you hated him or loved him. He just wanted to get a reaction out of people.
I mean, that was like the most brilliant thing.
Yeah. You know, he did the pro wrestling for a while, mm-hmm. was wrestling women. And then he actually like did a feud with like a pro wrestler. And remember there was the scene, he was on David Letterman and he got into a fight with a wrestler, Jim Lauder, I think his name was.
And I think nobody else was in on the joke. It was him and the other dude. Like,
yeah.
I don't care if you liked it or not.
There was a famous thing. He was hosting the show Fridays, which was kind of a ripoff of Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. But it was a live comedy show, and he just kind of stopped performing, and all the other actors got mad at him. Right. But it was all, you know, it was all his plan, you know?
Yeah, his grand plan. You know,
it was bizarre, but he did talk about faking his own death.
Oh, he did.
Yeah,
he planted the seed.
He actually said he had this whole genre of a guy called Tony Clifton.
Yes, I remember that.
Which he was him in disguise and heavy makeup, and he kind of looked like a very typical lounge kind of comedian. Mm-hmm. You know, a old ruffly tuxedo, and you know, was kind of overweight, and you know, you would never know it was Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
Loud, yeah. And his partner's manager continued performing as Tony Clifton after Andy Kaufman died.
Yes, right.
So that
he was trying to keep the illusion going.
Mystery going on, and the story was a year after his death, he was going to make a comeback.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, that he was going to come back after that, but he never did. Obviously, you know, this was in the 80s. He passed away. You know, unfortunately, he had lung cancer, and he did say, like, when he told people he had cancer, most people didn't believe him.
No, right?
He was dying, and nobody would believe him. You know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of, be careful what you put out there.
Yeah, it's wild. And, you know, it would have been interesting if he would have just lived his life as Tony Clifton and actually, right? Like, that would have been
he could have just done that. Yeah, right. You know, he could have done that for a long time, too. So getting back to the music side of things, I want to talk a little bit about the 27 Club. Now, this is a whole group of musicians who died at the age of 27.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to Robert Johnson, who was like a blues guitarist and like considered like one of the great guitarists like in the 30s.
Oh.
And you know, it was kind of like a lot of guitarists who came after, like Eric Clapton and Jimmy Page and all that stuff, said he was, you know, their hero and the guy they modeled after. He died. And the story of him was, you know, the song The Crossroads is all about his life, basically. He supposedly made a deal with the devil to play a guitar like nobody else could.
And
he went down to the crossroads, met the devil. You know, the devil gave him this guitar that he could play. But, you know, he in exchange for that, he had to turn over his soul at 27. Mm. So
that's a whole other like urban legend about the deal with the devil, right?
That's a whole other area. Yeah, absolutely. In reality, he actually cheated on he slept with a lot of other men's wives and probably had a lot of people who didn't like him very much.
How did he die? Do we know how he
shot.
Died?
He was shot. So that probably had a little something to do with it. But I think where the 27 Club really kind of took off and became a thing was in the late 60s, early 70s, because in the span of about a year or so,
mm-hmm.
Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix, and Janis Joplin all passed away
at 27.
At 27 years old.
Oh, right.
And so Hendrix and Janis Joplin, there's not as much like, oh, they faked their death kind of thing.
Right.
Both of them were probably drug related deaths.
Mm-hmm.
Jimi Hendrix actually choked on his vomit.
Yeah.
And, you know, cause he, you know, was out of his mind on whatever drugs he was taking. Janis Joplin, I believe, had a heart attack.
Okay.
But Jim Morrison, a lot of people think faked
his
death.
Yes, right.
And I think a lot of this has to do, if you listen to The Doors, and I love The Doors, they're one of my favorite bands, a lot of, you know, death imagery in their music, a lot of very psychedelic, you know, kind of dreamy, otherworldly kind of stuff.
Right.
So, you know, it's like beyond the plane of existence kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very deep. And he was, you know, he wrote the lyrics, you know, he was the poet. And
how did he die? Was it drugs?
We'll get into that in a second.
Okay.
That's a little bit of part of the mystery, too.
Oh, okay.
But he was in The Doors, of course, and They recorded an album called L.A. Woman, which was their last album with Jim Morrison. They did other stuff afterwards, but this was the last, like, a true Doors album, I think, that most fans would consider. And he went off to Paris with his girlfriend because he wanted to get away from it. You know, there's debate whether or not he was, like, done with the Doors at this point or not. Okay. The other members of the Doors say no, he was planning on coming back. He just wanted a break for a little bit. That's kind of a gray area of mystery kind of thing. But the idea was maybe he just wanted to go to Paris and be a poet. He didn't want to be a rock star anymore. He was facing some legal problems. He was facing an indecent exposure charge in Florida. The claim was that he pulled down his pants during a concert. And
That's a charge.
Put on a different kind of show, I guess. But he was facing like 10 years in prison for that.
For that?
Yeah.
Seems pretty innocuous these days.
Yeah, exactly. It was a different time. It was, you know, 71, and, you know, the laws were a little more conservative, I guess, at that point. That was a possibility. Whether or not he would have went to jail, we don't know, because they dropped the charges after he died. And so he went to Paris, was living with his girlfriend, and he woke up dead in the bathtub. Well, she woke up and found him dead in the bathtub the next day.
Oh, okay.
And most people feel it was a heart attack.
Okay.
Probably drug related. Again, he was, you know, obviously had a lot of substance issues. He was more of a drinker than a drug taker, actually. I think most people think of him as a drug guy.
Yeah, because of his music.
Yeah, because his music was just so out there. But a lot of things I've read about him say he was actually more of an alcoholic than a drug addict. But in France, you're not required to get an autopsy. If a death is under mysterious circumstances, the police like look at it and say, well, it's probably this, and that's enough.
Really?
So he was very quickly buried. And, like, word to his family and to the rest of his bandmates and the word in the United States, by the time people heard about this, he was already buried.
Oh, wow.
So it was, like, already
done. So they couldn't
even
do anything.
They couldn't even do anything at this point. And so people are like, oh, that's kind of, you know, nobody saw the body.
Mysterious,
that's
right.
You know, that's put the mystery to it. And it was his girlfriend who did all the paperwork. She was kind of like a common law wife because they had been together for so long. And there was like fights over his money and with the family afterwards because of that. But some people say like, well, maybe she accidentally gave him like some bad drugs and he had an overdose.
Right.
And she was trying to cover it up, or he just wanted to get away from it. And again, he's one that personality wise, you could kind of see where this would work a little bit.
You mean you're thinking he faked his own death?
It's possible. You know,
does his girlfriend know? Is she in on it? Or no, he wanted to get away from
her,
too?
She passed away a few years later.
Oh, okay.
And so we don't know from her. But she was around for years.
Right.
You know, I mean, it wasn't like the next day. But, you know, she did pass away. So we don't know what's going on with her. But it's... And he's buried in a very prominent grave in Paris where like a lot of celebrities are. And if you ever see pictures of his tombstone, it's got a bust of him and like there's all graffiti all over it.
Yeah.
In a loving way, not like defaced.
People go to see it, right? Travel.
Yeah. And, you know, leave notes and messages and poems and stuff at his grave. So he's very much a poet's grave kind of thing. And it is, I saw, and there was an interview with Jim Morrison's dad, and we might have to do an episode on the Doors at some point because there's some really cool stuff there. But it was a funny relationship he had with his father because his dad was actually an admiral in the Navy.
Oh, okay.
And you know, so obviously an authority figure.
Sure.
You know, and so they did not get along great. They got along. I mean, it's not like they didn't talk or they were completely estranged. Mm-hmm. But they both kind of agreed that, like, you know what, we're on two different people, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like your family and I love you, but good luck, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
And so when you hear his dad, who is still alive relatively recently, I don't know if he still is or not, but I saw a documentary not that long ago where he was talking about like how they buried his son at this grave. And, you know, he was so, he thought it was so appropriate that he was among poets and, you know, in this place of honor. And, you know, he was proud, even though he didn't quite understand his son.
Right.
He was proud of what he accomplished. So right. it was very interesting, very moving, you know, to hear
and
that.
And a place of honor for his.
And a place of honor, you know, which obviously place, him being a military guy, you know, that means something to him.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. So, you know, there was definitely like regret when he was talking about it. But there was also pride. So it was a very interesting kind of dynamic, you know?
Right, of course.
And so that's Jim Morrison.
Yeah.
So now there's other celebrities to varying degree, like Marilyn Monroe.
Right. You
know, again, a lot of them are people who died young.
Well, Marilyn, there's a whole conspiracy, right, about politicians. And maybe
you know,
the
whether
Kennedys.
The Kennedys were in on it, the mafia, you know, the Rat Pack, you know, right. Frank Sinatra and all that. All, you know, all those people, you know, but there are people who think she did fake her death just to get away from it all.
But she was in a really good seat. I don't know if I buy that one because she was like a producer. I didn't realize until I was older how she had accomplished.
Oh,
she was producing her movies. Like, she was not just a, you know, blonde bombshell.
Not just, you know.
I can't see her doing it. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, I think her story is just more tragic than, you know, I think people want to put a little bit of hope.
Right.
Like, maybe she beat the odds and, you know, lived. Mm-hmm. And James Dean, I think, is kind of in that category, too.
Right.
We pretty much know he died in the car crash.
Yes,
I mean, there was, you know, that was Princess Diana. A lot of people say that, too. Whitney Houston. You know, another one, another member of the 27 Club was Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
You know, but we're pretty sure that they all died.
Right.
You
and
know,
Amy Winehouse. Amy
Winehouse.
More recent.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know, and again, and she was, I think she might have been in Paris too. She was definitely
overseas
someplace.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, she was like, I think it becomes a little more mysterious if they're in another country. Like I said, with Jim Morrison, how Paris had these different rules. And, you know, maybe it wasn't, you know, what we would expect here in the United States in terms of an investigation.
And if you wanted to fake your own death, you would have to go to a place where there was, like, no investigation, no autopsy.
Right, exactly.
You know, you're just done.
Exactly.
But, you know, Remember that.
Yeah, right. Write that down. If you're,
exactly.
You know, if you're making plans right now, think
you're a celebrity and you want to get out of it.
Think of this as a how-to guide if you want to get out of this kind of situation. So which of those celebrities that I just listed, which do you think could still be alive or could have lived past what we thought they died?
Well, I think now that you're talking about the autopsy thing, I think Jim Morrison is on my list.
Yeah.
I think Michael Jackson. Not that I think it did happen, but I think he could pull it off.
He had the means, yeah.
I just think he has the means, yeah. Like, if Oprah wanted to fake her own death, I feel like she could do it, no problem.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, just people that could do it and have not, but that she's on my list of that.
And again, now we're in an age where this is not really going to be an issue because it's almost impossible. Like, if Taylor Swift faked her death, people would find it 5 minutes later, there'd be a something on Twitter of her at a supermarket.
Right, exactly.
You know, I mean, there's no way you could do this now in terms of the fact that everybody's got a camera in their hand.
Yeah, and
all times.
And in America, I mean, they are like, you know, and look at what happened to, what's his name? Friends.
Matthew Perry,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know exactly what happened, who was there. I think people are brought up on charges.
Yeah.
It's very
different.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So I don't think we're going to see that, you know, I don't think it's going to be as much of a thing. I mean, there's always rumors.
But if they disappear, that's a whole other thing. I think that's still to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, Amelia Hart could still be out there. I mean, she'd be like 140, but she could still be out there. So I got one more celebrity to talk about, and this is kind of the reverse in a bizarre kind of way. Paul McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
Paul McCartney is
very
still
much
with
alive.
Us. Very much alive.
Yes.
Knocking wood on that. You know, still doing concerts and, of course, still making music. And as you know, I'm a Beatle fanatic, so Paul's my guy. But there were rumors in the 60s that he was dead.
Yes.
Paul is dead. And this was a whole thing.
Didn't John Lennon start that rumor? Or
There's a couple of schools of thought about this, because just to briefly go over it, there's a song called Revolution Number 9. If you're a Beatle fan, obviously, you know that. Kind of infamous for being kind of a very strange song. And if you play it backwards, it sounds like it's saying, "Turn me on, dead man."
Okay.
So I don't know if that was planned or if that was just what it sounds mm-hmm. like. You know, people can hear what they want to hear sometimes, but it does kind of sound like that. And somebody at some point in the late 60s did that and came up with the idea that Paul McCartney was gone and that they were faking the death. So the story goes that in the like around 67, Paul McCartney was in a car accident, was decapitated. The Beatles were at the height of their fame, so they didn't want to, like, you know, come out that Paul was dead and, you know, that would destroy the Beatles. And So they held a contest for a Paul McCartney lookalike. They found a guy named Will Campbell, the guy's name was, and who looked a lot like Paul McCartney. They took him away and did some cosmetic surgery to make him look even more like Paul McCartney.
I've seen a couple movies like this.
It's definitely, you know. And again, this all happened in the 60s, so mm-hmm. a lot of drugs floating around. So a lot of people taking some liberties with reality.
Yeah.
And he joined the band and replaced Paul McCartney. Now, luckily, this random guy they picked up not only looked like Paul McCartney, but sounded like him and was one of the greatest songwriters of all time.
Right.
And, you know, also played the bass guitar and piano just like Paul McCartney.
Right.
So that was a lucky break because apparently, you know, they're just, you could just find somebody like that down the street.
Right.
So, but there's this whole interesting genre of the clues that are in some of their albums.
Mm.
Now, I mentioned Turn Me On Dead Man on Revolution Number 9. In the song Strawberry Fields, there's a little bit of gibberish towards the end.
Yes, right.
That sounds like I buried Paul.
Okay.
And it's actually saying strawberry sauce.
Okay.
It's Paul McCartney, John Lennon actually saying that very slowly.
Okay.
Strawberry sauce. And if you listen to it, you can kind of maybe get Paul, I buried Paul out of that.
If you're looking for it, you can
find it for sure. The cover of Sgt. Pepper, the very famous cover, a lot of people say that's a funeral because it looks like they're standing over a grave because the Beatles are there. And there's the Beatles in the Sgt. Pepper uniforms. And right next to them are wax statues of them when they were younger, like in the suits that they wore in the early days of the Beatles.
Right.
And there's one of the, you know, there's this whole crowd of celebrities standing behind them. And somebody's holding up their hand, and their hand holding it over Paul's head, so it kind of looks like a halo. Again, if you're looking for it, you can see it.
Yeah, the story seems to be written backwards. Once he's dead, a lot of things can fall to place.
Exactly. And there's a picture inside the album. There's like a gatefold, and you see Paul McCartney has his back to the camera, and the other three, he's like conducting the other three. So they're saying, well, that's because it's not him. It's a stand-in.
Right.
And there was a patch on the Sergeant Pepper uniform that had OPD on it, and that is British code for officially pronounced dead. That's like a police code.
Okay.
But it was apparently given to him while they were on tour by the Ontario Police Department, and that's what the OPD stood for. You know, but he just thought it was cool, so he put it on the uniform because it was a cool looking patch. And so then there's also there's the one with the most clues is the cover of Abbey Road. And this is the one, of course, they're walking across the street, a very famous album cover. When you look at the cover, John Lennon's first. He's wearing like a white suit and he's followed by Paul McCartney. Then who's like in a black suit. He's followed by Ringo Starr, who's also in like a dark suit. And then there's George Harrison, who's just kind of wearing jeans and like a denim jacket. So the idea is that John Lennon is the preacher.
Okay.
Paul McCartney's the corpse because he's not wearing any shoes and he's out of step with the other three Beatles. And then Ringo is the mourner and George Harrison's the grave digger. And so it's a funeral procession. And there's a car in the distance, a Volkswagen Beetle that you see that says 28 if. And so
if
he lived, he would have been 28.
Oh.
And of course, that would actually, so if he died at 27, that would have put him in the 27 club,
right,
too, which kind of ties in with what we were talking about earlier.
That's wild.
Yeah, that's pretty wild stuff.
So here's my theory, a new thing. Okay. What if he did die at 27, but he was a zombie, and now it's he possible. Outlived everyone, because he's the last Beatle, correct?
Well, Ringo's still around.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Ringo. I love Ringo, too. I apologize. Oh, my goodness. That was terrible.
But yes, the other two are gone.
Yes, okay. All right, yep. So he's one of the last.
So there, some people think that, like, the Beatles did this on purpose, put these clues in there, like there was no fake death, but they wanted people to think there was,
sure.
You know, because they were doing like kind of like a clever Easter egg thing.
Yeah, before we really knew what Easter eggs were, right?
Maybe they did. The Beatles invented a lot of stuff, yeah. You know, but there's no evidence that that is true. Mm-hmm. And but this went viral in the late 60s, and it was right around the time people started noticing these things was around 69, and the Beatles were breaking up at that point. So people kind of put that together with it, you know, right. Like, because they weren't out in public as much, and, you know, they weren't doing, like, Beatle-y things anymore.
Oh, so it got some fuel.
And actually, Paul McCartney was interviewed by Life magazine. They went to visit him because he was living on a farm in Scotland with Linda McCartney. He was just kind of, like, not quite a hermit, but kind of living a simpler life kind of thing.
Okay.
And so they had to say, like, you know, when knocking on his door, are you alive? And he was like, yeah, I am. You know, this is me kind of thing. And years later in the 90s, Paul McCartney put out a live album called Paul is Live, which is, you know, kind of a play on that. And he's reenacting the Abbey Road album cover on it. And they got the Volkswagen in the back that says, instead of saying 28 if, it said whatever his age was at the time, like I think it was like 50. It said 58 is.
Oh, so, that's hilarious. Yeah. On it afterwards.
Yeah, so he's kind of had fun with it over the years.
That's hysterical.
But yeah, so there used to be t-shirts back in the day that said Paul is dead, but Elvis is alive. So who knows who we're still here though.
Yeah. Right.
We're both still here, so and we're not going anywhere anytime soon. Thank you for listening to The Last Radio Show. If you like the show, please subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review on your favorite platform. You can check us out on Facebook and Instagram at The Last Radio Show. We will talk to you soon.
The Last Radio Show.
The Last Radio Show.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda salutes those who've served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of Coda's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use Coda Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on Coda. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.